Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. Once again, my name is Chris Trapicante. This morning, okay, we are doing an early edition of the Hoop Crew Hour and a shortened edition at that. Usually our show runs for about 30 minutes. Today we'll be going for 15 minutes. Again, that guest call-in line, if anyone is interested in jumping in and talking Celtics right off the bat this morning, but that number is 646-668-2091. Couple things. In this edition of the Hoop Crew, we're going to examine a report that I heard last night from, again, I don't know how many of you guys out there listen to Boston Sports Talk Radio, but I listen to it avidly every single day. Examine a report from 98.5, the Sports Hub, Mark the Beetle Bertrand, that the Celtics' options for superstars and transformative players may already be running dry, that the Celtics don't really have much of an opportunity this offseason before it even begins to get that player. I'll talk about whether or not I think that report is accurate. The Celtics may just be better off taking a different route that I'm going to run you through in this 15 minutes that we have right here. Starting with the report from Mark Beetle Bertrand. Again, Mark Beetle Bertrand, the host of the 10 to 2 show, Zolak and Bertrand. He said last night on CSNE, New England Sports Tonight, that he feels like the Celtics options are running dry already. He said that Kevin Durant was already a pipe dream, and the fact that Oklahoma City's having success against San Antonio, then maybe that option is just dead altogether. He then brought up the fact that Jimmy Butler has been reported to be off of the trading block in Chicago. Now, I'm not sure I really believe that. If I'm Chicago and I hear Jimmy Butler's upset with the report that we were looking to move him, I'm not going to continue to say that we're looking to move him, because if by some chance you do keep him, you got to be able to foster some sort of relationship with your best player. So I do think Jimmy Butler's still out there. So that's one part of the report that I cannot agree with Mark Beetle Bertrand on. The final play was DeMarcus Cousins yesterday. About an hour or so after we went off the air, it was reported that Vlade Divac, Kings GM, and noted DeMarcus Cousins' backer, said that he will not trade DeMarcus Cousins this season, quote, for sure. Now, Mark Bertrand brought up a great point. He doesn't think he's going to be traded this offseason. Like I said yesterday on the podcast, Dave Yeager gets that job in Sacramento. He's not going there, you know, to trade DeMarcus Cousins. He's going there to make it work with DeMarcus Cousins. So I think if a DeMarcus Cousins trade is going to happen sometime in the near future, it'll be at the trading deadline. I know it feels like we've said that a million times in the past, especially here in Boston, but I don't see DeMarcus Cousins getting moved this offseason. With that being said, to say that the Celtics options for superstars and transformative players is already running dry, I think it's a little bit harsh. We haven't even hit the draft lottery yet. A lot of things are going to break. It's only May 11th. Free agency doesn't start until July 1st. The draft isn't until June 28th. There's a lot of time in there, you know, for teams to make decisions. A lot of teams haven't even made those kind of decisions yet. They're still kind of in review mode before they really start pushing forward with their offseason plans. I know the Celtics are in that same kind of position. You know, we as fans are just so excited about the offseason that we want to hear things every single day. We want to learn new things about who they're targeting, who they could go after, who's available. But the truth of the matter is that in today's league, today's world, you're just not going to hear that information right off the bat. So I think it's a little bit of a premature report by Mark Beetle Bertrand. But again, I said this yesterday, that the longer Kevin Durant stays in the playoffs with Oklahoma City, I think the less likely it is that he even tests the market. Maybe he just signs another one-year contract at OKC. Put it this way, I don't see Oklahoma City winning a title. They may get by San Antonio, and that would be a good accomplishment for them. San Antonio was one of the best teams in the regular season. But I don't see Oklahoma City getting by Golden State. I just don't see it. You know, and Cleveland looks like an improved team in the East, too. So I think it would be, you know, if Oklahoma City is able to pull it off to beat Golden State, to beat Cleveland, then that would be one of the best runs in NBA history. But I just don't really see that happening. So I do think, like I said yesterday, the most likely outcome is he stays in Oklahoma City. But I do think the Eastern Conference is his best option. So I think Kevin Durant is definitely going to listen. Just whether or not, you know, what he feels and what the Celtics can present him with is really going to ultimately decide whether or not he comes to Boston or elects to stay where he is. Now, when we talk about the Celtics' options for superstars and transformative players kind of drying up, you know, before the offseason even begins, essentially, there is a route that I do think the Celtics can take that I mentioned this in yesterday's podcast as well, but I think that the Celtics need to understand that making a jump from a middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team to a legit NBA title contender, one of the four or five best teams in the NBA, is an extremely hard jump to make. And it's a jump that, you know what, as a fan, I would love to see them make, and I'm sure guys that do the sports talk radio in Boston, we'd love to see them make. I'm sure guys that are, you know, casual fans would love to see the Celtics make, because you're playing meaningful basketball games, and you're one of the elite teams in the league. But to me, I think the jump that the Celtics have to be focused on making right now, and I've said this to people that I've talked to, and they kind of said, yeah, well, you know, how are we going to really make that happen? I think the jump they need to be focused on making is becoming an Eastern Conference contender, not necessarily a title contender, but an Eastern Conference contender. You know, I look at a team like the LA Clippers, right? The Clippers, are they a title contender? Yes, just because of the fact that they have Chris Paul, they have Doc Rivers, Blake Griffin. But the way I look at the Clippers is I see them as a Western Conference contender, a team that could make a Western Conference Finals, compete in the Western Conference Finals, and maybe, if everything fell their way, win the Western Conference Finals. I think the Celtics need to be shooting for that. Like I said yesterday, Cleveland is the clear-cut team in the East. No one is touching the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're the best team in the league, or best team in the conference. No one's touching the Cavaliers. So, to me, if I'm the Celtics, I'm looking to compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the seven-game series. You know, if I can take it six games, maybe I get a few rolls, maybe I win a couple of games like that, and you know, LeBron continues to age, maybe I can win a series like that, not necessarily next year, but maybe the year after that, the young core that I could be building. You know, I mentioned a guy like Jimmy Butler. I think you add Jimmy Butler, if you can do it, no matter what. I think Jimmy Butler is one of the emerging superstars in this league, 25, 26 years old, one of the best two-way players, if not the best two-way player in the league. He scored 50 points in the game this season. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, how much better is he than a guy that we already have with Avery Bradley? That sounds like a homer take to me. Jimmy Butler scored 50 points in the game against the number two seed Toronto Raptors. Avery Bradley's not scoring 50 points in the game at any point in his career. To me, Jimmy Butler's an elite player, a guy you get the basketball to, he gets his own shot, and he hits shots in crunch time, and that is exactly what the Boston Celtics need. And he's a guy that if you traded, say, Jay Crowder in that package, you're not getting a lesser defender back. You're getting a defender who's just as good, just as deadly as Jay Crowder in Jimmy Butler. So I think that's a move that Celtics really, really, really need to be looking to make. I think he should be a top target for them in this offseason. I think he takes them from where they were this year. He definitely adds a few wins to the regular season total, and depending on what they can put around a guy like Jimmy Butler to go with Isaiah Thomas, I really do think that's a move that the Celtics need to make. You know, I outlined some names yesterday in our podcast as well, Harrison Barnes, Hassan Whiteside. You know, if they acquire Jimmy Butler, like I said, that's kind of their guy moving forward to go with Thomas. But if you added guys like Harrison Barnes and Hassan Whiteside, and, you know, those let's say those are your max contracts. You know, those don't have the sexy name appeal like a Kevin Durant, like an Al Horford. But to me, Hassan Whiteside fills a absolute need for this team. I think he's exactly what they need on the interior of their defense. And Harrison Barnes is a shooter, and he's a guy who can play the small ball four. He can play the bigger three. He's a good defensive player, and I think he is a prime candidate to be that next James Harden-type player, a guy who is kind of a third wheel, fourth wheel with his current team, moves to a new team, and then all of a sudden he's ready to just explode onto the scene. So to me, Harrison Barnes is a guy that I would look at. And I think if the Celtics starting lineup next year looks something like Isaiah Thomas, Jimmy Butler, Harrison Barnes, you know, we'll say Jonas Jerebko, just because that's the name that's still fresh in my mind after the season, and Hassan Whiteside, that team is drastically better than the team they were fielding against the Atlanta Hawks. And then you still have guys like Marcus Smart, guys like Kelly Olynyk, maybe a guy like Jordan Mickey, maybe a guy like RJ Hunter, maybe a couple of guys that you pick up in free agency that are coming in and ready to contribute on this team next year. And I think, to me, that team is better than the Toronto Raptors, is better than the Miami Heat. And I think that team is a number two seed in the Eastern Conference, right on paper, right to start the season. They are competing, in my mind, for a shot to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and a shot to compete. Not just get there, but compete in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So to me, it may not be the road that fans want to see the team take. You know, obviously all the fans want to see Kevin Durant, and I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't want to see Kevin Durant. You know, you watch the guy play, he's one of the top three players in the world. He's probably, you know, the first or second best pure scorer in the world. Steph Curry's made that conversation a little more difficult. But I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't want to see Kevin Durant here. But I do think that we need to temper expectations and understand that you know, it's not going to be for lack of effort. It's just going to be the position that they're in. It's hard to make the jump from middle of the pack to legit title contender. You know, you look at there's really three, four teams in the league that are legit title contenders. To me, it's San Antonio, Golden State, Cleveland, and probably Oklahoma City. You know, those are your four legit title contenders, and I would have said that to you at the midway point of the season. There probably would have been one or two more teams at the beginning of the season, but going into every year, there's really only five or six teams in the league at the start of the season that you say they can compete for a title. That's just the way it always works. You know, a team like Cleveland was struggling midseason. Now all of a sudden they're ripping up the Eastern Conference. They look terrific, and people are back on that bandwagon. That's the way it works. Talent wins out. Good players end up making plays in the end, and that's what wins games. So I think the Celtics need to get as many talented players as they can. And if you had a team, like I said, that you're adding Jimmy Butler, Harrison Barnes, or Hassan Whiteside, you'd have a hard time explaining to me why that team can't compete with Cleveland. You have guys that can guard LeBron. You're throwing different bodies at LeBron in that series. You have guys that can protect the rim so that LeBron isn't getting there at free will, which has been a problem for the Celtics. You know, Isaiah Thomas, for whatever it's worth, holds his own defensively. He does an okay job against Kyrie Irving, in particular games that I've seen in the past. You still have a guy like Marcus Smart. And to me, that team just seems, you know, more versatile, more athletically gifted, more offensively gifted than any team that's ever had with Brad Stevens ever. So I think Danny Ainge really needs to not go for those superstar A-level players, but really those maybe B-plus, A-minus players that may be ready to take the next step in their career. You give them a little bit of money, you see how they respond. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Harrison Barnes. I think he is the next guy to make that James Harden jump. I'm not saying he's going to go and be a 26-point-a-game scorer like James Harden, but, you know, he's averaging, you know, 13, 14 points a game in Golden State. You know, I think with a new team, you can see his numbers, you know, creep up to 18, 19, 20 points a game. That's just my opinion. That's just my take on that. So I do think that, you know, resorting back to what we talked about at the start, that Mark the Beatle Bertrand is probably partially correct. You know, DeMarcus Cousins is probably off the market. You know, Kevin Durant, the longer Oklahoma City goes, the less likely he is to leave. I understand that. I think it's a little bit premature to say that their options are drying up. I do think that there are options for the Celtics out there if they want to improve their team. And go from, like I said, a middle-of-the-pack team to a legit Eastern Conference title contender. Not an NBA title contender, but an Eastern Conference title contender. That way you continue to build, and maybe in a year, 2 years, 3 years, the core that you put together this offseason will be ready to compete for an NBA title. There's just no way of knowing that. You know, nobody thought Golden State was going to be competing for an NBA title last year. You know, they thought maybe a top three, top four seed in the West. You know, and we'll see what happens. But they go and they win an NBA title. You know, you just have to make the right moves, guys that fit your system. And I think the Celtics may be better off kind of just not steering clear of the route that everybody wants them to go, but having that plan B, you know, kind of running linear with their plan A. I think that's something that Celtics really need to focus on, because I do think that if they have all their eggs in the plan A basket, they're bound to be disappointed. Again, like I said, that was just a quick little addition there of the Hoop Crew Hour. We wanted to cover the Mark the Beatle Bertrand report. I heard it last night, and I thought, you know, wow, I really gotta get on that, because we do have some takes, you know, that regard that report from Mark Bertrand. So I wanted to get on here. I wanted to let you guys know that I don't agree with that report. If any of you guys are hearing that report and panicking, I don't agree with it. I do think the Celtics still have great opportunities to add transformative players. You know, whether you consider Jimmy Butler a transformative player or not, I do think he's going to be available. Still guys like Paul George will be available. I think there is talented names out there. And usually the trades that the Celtics or any team makes, you don't hear much about leading up into it. So, you know, there'll be a name out there that we don't hear much about that'll pop into the rumor mill, and everyone will be freaking out about it. So I look forward to that. And other than that, you know, like I said, taking a different route altogether, kind of having that plan B run linear with plan A is something that the Celtics, I think, need to consider. You know, maybe targeting guys, Jimmy Butler, Harrison Barnes, Hassan Whiteside, maybe giving that money to those guys is what the Celtics need to do. Hope you guys enjoy this podcast. We will be back in the near future. Probably start touching on some high school hoops, some college hoops, as well as the Celtics. Again, my name is Chris Trappacarte. Thank you for listening in to the Hoop Crew Hour. We hope you enjoyed it. We know I did. And we will talk to you guys soon. Goodbye.